This episode is sponsored by Procore Pest Control. Procore is a locally owned and operated pest management company dedicated to providing effective service at an affordable price. Find out more at ProcorePest.com. ProcorePest.com. Professional, proactive, Procore. Hi, I'm Bill Corcoran Jr., and I'm your host for the On the Stacks podcast. Today, I'm chatting with Rob Nelson, inventor of Big League Chew.
What's up, podcast? Episode 17, another virtual On the Stacks podcast. Welcome, Rob. How are you today?
It's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm really excited to have you on. I'm sure you've probably seen a lot of people listening and people that follow me on my social media have been following the Big League Chew flavor voting that I stumbled upon, and this whole thing kind of happened by accident, and it's an exciting thing, and I'm glad that we're here, and I'm glad we're going to be able to have you tell the Big League Chew story.
It's my pleasure. I know that you're a big fan of the grape, and I first heard that we were going to be doing this. I said, well, this is a compadre because I'm a grape guy myself.
Ooh, great. That's good. You know, by the time this podcast airs, we'll probably be closer to the end of the voting series. So we'll see if we'll see how grape does and see if grape makes it alive at the end. There's a couple good flavors coming up. So I don't know. We'll see.
I haven't followed that closely. Have you done the new Slam and Strawberry? Because it's awesome.
I think that one's going to be next. And I think maybe by the time, I haven't tried it yet, actually. And I have it sitting right here, believe it or not. But I'm waiting to try it when I actually do my little review of it. So I don't want to spoil it, you know?
Pretty cool. I got with the Slammin' Strawberry, I was more involved with the making of this flavor than any other flavor.
Okay.
With the four guys in Buffalo, they were saying, let's try a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's like they're fine winemakers. Those guys are really into it, and they killed it. They absolutely nailed it. It's wonderful.
Nice. Well, I want to come back to that in a couple of minutes. There's a little story behind the softball player on the front of the pouch. So, but we'll come back to that in a minute. But how about we talk about the brand a little bit. You know, it's growing up, I've known the brand forever. Obviously, a lot of people have, even people, you know, like my parents. You know, obviously, everyone knows who it is. It's a household name. You know, how did this whole thing come about? Let's take me back to the beginning.
You know, the beginning goes way back to Massapequa, Long Island, where I grew up. And as a 10, 11-year-old, getting a log of bubblegum at 9 a.m. to be ready for an 11 o'clock game, you know, I just wanted to have the look. One of my favorite players when I was a kid was the second baseman for the White Sox, Nellie Fox. And my nickname was Nellie, being a Nelson. And Nellie Fox was famous for having a big chaw in his mouth, and I never knew what that was, but I wanted that look. So I always stuffed my mouth with bubblegum.
Okay.
So fast forward, I went to junior college, I went to Cornell, pitched in the Ivy League, ended up in South Africa playing baseball and teaching school over there. It's kind of all over the map. Fast forward, I come to Portland, Oregon to try out for the famed Portland Maverick baseball team in the documentary, The Battered Bastards of Baseball on Netflix, just a little promo there. But when I came to Portland, I didn't get to pitch too much. I made the team, but just barely. I spent a lot of time in the bullpen and a lot of time watching my teammates chewing the other stuff. And it just repulsed me because I tried tobacco once, maybe 30 seconds, and it just never worked. As luck would have it, my teammate, Jim Bouton, former big leaguer, was trying to make it back to the big leagues. He was looking at those clowns as well, and he said, Rob, did you ever try that stuff? Did you ever try Redman? And I said, less than a minute in my mouth. And he said, me too. So maybe an inning or two later, I said, you know, I've had this idea. I chew a lot of gum. Suppose we shredded the gum and put it in a package that looked like the other stuff. Mm-hmm. That way we would look cool, but we wouldn't make ourselves ill, and we could blow some terrific bubbles. And Jim Bouton was a big leaguer, pitched in the World Series, pitched in the All-Star game, but he was a great businessman. And he's the only guy when I shared the idea with who said, Rob, I could sell that idea. That was the magic word. I needed somebody who wasn't a dreamer like me. I needed somebody who basically what I call a dreamer with a deadline. Jim Bouton said, I could sell that idea. Maybe a half inning later, he had said, what would you call it? And I just plucked it out of the air. I remember specifically, I said, I don't know, Big League Chew. It's the summer of 1977. Less than 2 years later, it was on the shelves of every 7-Eleven in America. We can't believe our good luck. It's crazy.
Yeah. So how did it happen? You know, I know it took a few years to get it to market. So like, how did you start making it? Like, were you making it by yourself at home? Like what was the process like?
That's a great question, because Jim said he could sell it. He went back to New York, New Jersey area where he lived. I stayed out here in Portland, Oregon. And he contacted me. He said, "Rob, nobody understands it. I'm going to gum companies and nobody understands what we're doing. You have to make some samples." As luck would have it, I read an article in People magazine. Small company in Arlington, Texas, making a kit. Build your own bubble gum. And I've told this story thousands of times, and nobody from that company and nobody I've ever spoken to said, "Oh yeah, I bought some of that too." I may be the only customer they ever had. I bought a case of the stuff. We went to Todd Field's kitchen. Todd Field is a writer director in Hollywood now, but back in 1977, he was one of the bat boys for the Portland Mavericks. Okay. His mom had a kitchen, my apartment, not so much. So his mom, whose name is Candy Field, what are the odds of that? Mrs. Field let us use her kitchen, and we made a batch of both root beer and maple flavored bubble gum. It looked like thin brownies, and I shredded it using a pizza knife, the round kind of knife that just make the shreds. And we put it in some pouches, and I found an art company to make up samples. We had the name. We used Jim Bouton's cartoon face on the front, little caption that said, "Best I ever tried." And I sent it back to Jim, and he went knocking on doors. Jim used to say that I had the inspiration. You know, I had the idea, but he was the guy pounding the pavement. He was the perspiration. And you need both. And yeah. And it was just dumb luck. Todd Field couldn't believe it, that he was the bat boy for the team. We're making what we think is going to be legendary gum. You know, I'm in my late 20s, and he's maybe 15 years old at the time. We just had an absolute ball doing it. But it was like out of a movie, really.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. It sure sounds like it. And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the first year, you know, and you said you were on every 7-Eleven shelf, but you guys did like $18 million?
$18 million. You know, we signed a 3-year deal with Wrigley. They thought it'd be a cute novelty. In year one, they sold $18 million worth. And to put that in perspective, a year later, they sold the Cubs for $21.5 million. It was almost as if the Wrigley family replaced the baseball team with shredded gum pouch. It was crazy. So nobody knew that it was going to be the success that it was. I mean, my dad used to say it was lightning in a pouch. And there it is, 40 years later.
So did you ever think it would become a household name? Like, at what point did you say to yourself, like, "I think we made it"?
Maybe 5 years in. But in the beginning, quite honestly, in the beginning, had Wrigley said, "Here's $100,000, pay off your student loans," I would have done that. I was a middle school teacher. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a high school coach like my coach, Mr. Lang. I wanted to be Don Lang. I had so much respect for him. And then things happened. I ended up doing other things. But I'd say 4 or 5 years in, I was thinking, this is pretty cool. I feel very, very blessed.
Yeah. So, you know, throughout the years of Big League Chew, maybe in the beginning years or at some point, did you guys hit any hurdles in the manufacturing process or just in business in general? And how did you guys overcome that?
You know, that's a really good question. In terms of the business angle, Jim did the negotiations. When I first came to Portland, I didn't make the team, and I didn't want to leave Portland, so I started up a kids' baseball day camp. Bing Russell, the owner of the Mavericks, let me use his players and his team name. All this branding stuff he gave to me for free, and I set up a thing at Grant Park where kids could come and practice. And the reason I bring that up is that one of the dads of one of the boys, Dan Chernoff, was a patent and trademark attorney. So he set the table for Big League Chew. So I had so many people helping me out. Jim Bouton was one. Dan Chernoff was another. Bing Russell, of course, just let me play on the team. So whenever we did meet an obstacle, it seemed like somebody just popped up and said, "Yeah, I can take care of that." We had some issues early on that people thought that we were trying to encourage kids to chew tobacco. And we had some good public relations people say, "Rob, tell us the story." I said, "It's the exact opposite. Big League Chew is like a bottle of root beer. It's like a fun substitute. You know, I don't think any kid slurps down a bottle of foamy draft style root beer and said, this is good, but I'd really want, what I really want is a pint of Guinness. I said, it doesn't work that way. We're just selling fun here. So that little blip came up occasionally. And we put out the brush fire. Once we were able to educate people that, hey, these are two guys who virtually never chewed tobacco. They want to have an alternative. Let's face it, Big League Chew's not a health food. It's not granola. But okay, it's a heck of a lot safer and more fun than chewing tobacco. So my whole idea was to push the fact that, number one, my dad was a New York City cop. Two older brothers. We were really into sports. We were kind of just an all-American family kind of thing. And mom was holding everything together. So we were in a division of Philip Morris or something like that. You know what I mean? Because nobody knew. It's a cynical world out there. It was really a guy with a philosophy degree from Cornell who was kind of a dreamy guy, had a teammate who had a business background, and the rest is history. I mean, back then I felt like Charlie Bucket in the Willy Wonka movie. Like I was the luckiest kid on the planet. And now that I'm in my 70s, I feel like Mr. Wonka. Like sometimes, like at Halloween when kids come to our house, they say, that's the gum guy. I mean, they look at me like I'm a rock star. And the parents know, they go crazy because, you know, it's been out there for 40 years. So you got a lot of moms and dads, and I'll just fling them some gum and say, it's not just for kids anymore. So there's no question I'm the luckiest left-hander ever played minor league baseball.
Absolutely. So you know, when you were saying kids come to the house, where are you living at nowadays?
Live in Northeast Portland, and it's a leafy neighborhood. It's an old section of Portland. It's not far from Grand High School, where my daughter Jane goes. And it's where I started the baseball camp. It's about a mile away. So it's got a really good feel to it. It's really fun. Jane has a twin brother, Charlie. We've got the oldest sister, Paige, who we named after Satchel Paige. So we're kind of a baseball family, except for Charlie, who plays lacrosse. But that's cool, too.
That's very cool. So I did a little bit of my own research. And at one point, I think I remember Big League Chew was being manufactured in, was it in Mexico? And there was something where you ended up moving the manufacturing from Mexico to U.S. in upstate New York. Is that right?
That's correct. It's, you know, and they always say, if you're from Buffalo, it's Western New York. You know, I went to college in Ithaca, which is upstate. But when you go west, they claim that part for themselves. But I got lucky. What was happening was that the Mars Company bought out the Wrigley Company, and I knew my brand was kind of a niche brand. To be with a mega-sized business like that was probably not going to be a good fit. And I told the Wrigley people that my contract was going to end in about 2 years. I took free agency like a ball player a couple of years early. I said, I really want to find a smaller company that I don't want to get in the way of this merger or this buyout, actually. And the Wrigley family could not have been nicer. I bought the equipment. They were making it in Mexico. They boxed all the equipment, negotiated. I had to buy the equipment, buy the factory, move it up to Western New York. There's a little town, Akron, New York, maybe 10 miles out of the central Buffalo. And Ford Gum is the name of the company. They've been there over 100 years. And it's like a town where they filmed It's a Wonderful Life. It's just a great little community, and they're maniacally focused on making the best shredded bubblegum in the world. They make a lot of other stuff, but you know, their signature brand is Big League Chew, and I could not be happier. And I'm always grateful to the Wrigley people because they said, yeah, Rob, you're right. It's probably not going to be a good fit. And so I got lucky. But to go back to Western New York, when I was at Cornell, I had a lot of teammates from the Buffalo area. I was drawn to Buffalo because, number one, they filmed the movie The Natural there, right, where Robert Redford puts all the lights out and the home run at the end. I had teammates from Cornell who were from Buffalo. Warren Spahn, the winningest left-hander in the history of baseball, was a Buffalo guy. So I just had a good feeling about the town. And then when I met these guys, I had a terrific agent, Bob Anderson, went scanning the globe, finding the perfect spot for me. But this is the only company that really got what Big League Chew was all about. And as luck would have it, it's the only small company in the USA. And that really mattered to me.
Wow. Yeah, that's really cool. And like you said, with the Wrigley family, you know, really kind of guiding you and letting you, you know, go be free agent and helped you, you know, transition and you know, be able to keep your brands like it was. And that's a really cool story.
Yeah, a lot of people think business, big business, is really impersonal and that you're just a number out there. But when I told the fellow who was running the kids brand at the time, a fellow named Paul Chibe, he said, "Rob, I think it's a good move." And negotiating to buy the equipment at the table, it was almost like Paul was on my side, you know, dealing with the Wrigley attorneys and so forth. And he said, "You know, Rob's been here for, you know, 30 years and he's been a good soldier through thick and thin. You know, we should help him. We want him to succeed," because they had no interest in replacing shredded gum. They had Skittles and Starbursts and other things that they had from the Mars company. Mm-hmm. So the segue from a big company to a little tiny Akron, New York, just suited me perfectly. Couldn't be happier.
That's really cool. So you've been there now for what, 10 years?
10 years in November. We're going to try to celebrate if we can. You know, yeah, it's a different world out there. We may do it in the spring, but it'll be done and it'll be good.
Yeah. You know, so that one other thing I wanted to touch on, this year's the 40th anniversary of Big League Chew. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Sure. I never get tired talking about the bubblegum. Here, our first deal was only for 3 years, and we end up 4 decades later. And I think the reason it has succeeded is because we stuck to what it was. Big League Chew is shredded gum in a pouch. The big extension we had, now you can get bubblegum balls. But, you know, you'll never see Big League Chew root beer or candy bars or ice cream and stuff. I just wanted to stick with the one good idea that I had. My brother Ed calls me the Harper Lee of bubblegum. You know, Harper Lee wrote, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird. She said, you know, "I did it. It's really good." And that was it. That's how I feel about it. You know, with my former partner, Jim Boughton, one of the reasons I was able to buy him out about 20 years ago is he wanted to expand the Big League brand into other things. And he had other ventures going on as well. And I said, "Jim, I really don't want to do that." I said, "You know, Big League Chew to me was like WD-40. You know, the lubricant?"
Yep.
"You know who makes WD-40? The WD-40 company. That's all they do." So sometimes when you get it right, you just want to just make it as good as it can be.
Yeah.
And most recently now, here we are 40 years later, we got the girl on the pouch. We've taken aspartame out of the gum. So it's not a healthier gum, but I guess it is healthier. The artificial sweeteners are way down on Big League Chew. We're just trying to it's one small step to make kids smile. And that small step is just blow a Big League bubble and have some fun with your teammates.
Yeah, definitely. So any exciting things coming up soon this year, next year for Big League Chew?
Well, you know, I was going to hit the road with a shred mobile, just going to minor league parks and little league fields and so forth. So we've forestalled that for a year. And so that will be fun. We've got a great connection also in New York State with Cooperstown. We are the Hall of Fame bubblegum, and we have a great relationship with the Baseball Hall of Fame. We have various contests. You go on to bigleaguechew.com, you can see where you can win gum and tickets to the Hall of Fame and the exclusive tour and things like that. And the Hall of Fame is another organization that just embraced Big League Chew. It's funny how when people saw it, they just got it. There was something about that brand, the character that Bill Mayer created in the beginning. He was a Mad Magazine artist. But those early characters kind of launched Big League Chew. And people just said, "That's fun." And time and again, I would hear from people saying, "I was hoping that the story was kind of what it is." Yeah. That, you know, nobody's ever said to me, like high school friends or college buddies say, "Boy, Rob Nelson, you know, he's the luckiest guy out there." Guys know that I pitched in 4 different continents. I wasn't good enough to be a major league player, but I hung around baseball until something came up, and it was shredded gum in a pouch. So it's kind of a fun thing. So in terms of the future with Big League Chew, we'll be doing various kinds of clinics and sponsorships and so forth once the dust settles, quite frankly. You know, once the COVID thing has been solved, we're going to be back out there bigger and better than ever. But for now, we're just holding our own and just continue. It's a funny thing. When you keep it simple and your goal is to just make the best bubble gum that you can, a lot of times that's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys are doing next. So let's talk a little bit about that. The Slammin' Strawberry and the Girl on the Pouch. What's the story behind that?
You know, time and time again, people would say to me at at baseball clinics or at confection shows, you know, when are you going to put a girl in the pouch? And a couple of years ago, we finally did it. And the artist had a niece in upstate New York in Rochester and used her likeness. And she's become like a local rock star. And just for discretion, I don't name her name because I don't want people knocking on her door and stuff. But it's a cool story because it's based on a real person. The artist was not a ball player herself, but her dad played minor league ball with Cal Ripken. And it's funny, in the Hall of Fame, there is a story of Big League Chew, because we're the Hall of Fame bubblegum. And right next to it is the story of the longest professional baseball game ever played between Rochester and Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And the dad of the artist of the girl on the pouch of Big League Chew played for the Rochester team in the longest game in baseball history. It's just like a cosmic kind of thing. Like Big League Chew just kind of drew these people. It's like when we made the first pouch of Big League Chew. It was on February 6th. And it was like 7-8 years later, we found out, hey, that was Babe Ruth's birthday. So many things like that have happened with Big League Chew. And with the girl on the pouch, it's the same kind of thing. There's a friend of mine who said, I know a woman who's really talented. And so we did it. It's just a delight. Absolute fun.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. A lot of cool coincidences. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I've never tried the strawberry or the blue raspberry. So I'm looking forward to trying those for sure.
Yeah, the blue raspberry I particularly like because, you know, when we're going for a nickname on things, we had a contest. What's the blue raspberry going to be named? And three or four people said Rally Raspberry. And we found out, said, Rally Raspberry, that's we don't need the blue part. But then we found out from marketing people that raspberry is a grown-up flavor. Blue raspberry is what kids like. So in my one rare moment of inspiration, I said, how about Big Rally Blue Raspberry? I love the BR thing for Babe Ruth and my buddy Bill Ripken. So I always tell Bill that it's called Big Rally Blue Raspberry in honor of Billy Ripken. But truth of the matter is, it was just pure coincidence that happened.
That's cool. So, all right. So this next question is sponsored by Procore Pest Control. I know this question, it's like asking a parent who their favorite child is, but I got to ask because I know everyone that's listening to this podcast is just waiting for this question. So what is your favorite flavor of Big League Chew?
Depends on the day, but I'm going to alternate. Some days it's original because that was the first thing I smelled when I got my first pouch in the mail. And there was an interview when the fellow said, what was it like? I think it was Darren Rovell on ESPN. He said, when you open that first pouch, what did it smell like? And he said, it smelled like fun. It really smelled like fun. So I've got that affection for that original Big League Chew. But I will say this, when I get competitive and I'm blowing bubbles against kids, I show no mercy and I go with ground ball grape. Ground ball grape is a little leathery for me, a little bit. I don't know what it is about it, but and they've tweaked the flavor a bit at Ford Gum. It's a magnificent grape bubblegum. So I'm going to say let's put it this way. In a week, I'm going to go 4 days grape, 3 days original, right? So grape has a slight edge. They're both spectacular. Truth is, they're all really cool, but those are my first two.
Yeah, definitely. I'm, you know, as you know, as a lot of other people know, I'm a grape guy. I mean, all around grape. I call it Grape the Goat. You know, we'll see how grape holds out.
So who has grape defeated so far?
Original, watermelon, and cotton candy.
Curveball cotton candy is a sleeper, really sleeper.
Yeah.
So I'm impressed that grape is kind of just holding its own.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, going up against, you know, we got strawberry, blue raspberry, and sour apple. In my opinion, I think the sour apple might pull the upset, but time will tell.
You know, good point. I've done a baseball camp on the east end of Long Island. This would have been our 35th summer, and we've had to cancel it for, you know, health reasons. But we give out a ton of Big League Chew competitions, home run derbies, and things like that. And wild pitch watermelon is really out there. So I think that sleeper component, it might surprise a few people.
Yeah.
My money's great, but if I had to, if it turns out to be watermelon, I won't be surprised.
Yeah. So you mentioned something earlier. You said something about a Shredmobile. You're going around.
You know, I got the idea. There was a woman at the Hall of Fame, Stephanie, and I don't remember her last name. When she got out of college, she spent 2 years driving a Wienermobile for Oscar Mayer.
Okay.
Just going to parking lots and giving out coupons and so forth. And she said it was so much fun. And I thought, well, if I could get a Shredmobile, that would be cool. And basically what I would get is just like a square van that the side would look like a pouch of Big League Chew. And I'd have some shreds like out of the top. You know, they can make anything these days, you know. And just go to minor league parks and give out gum and blow bubbles and have competitions and give out T-shirts and things like that. So that was the idea, to live in a camper for a summer. I did that when I first started working for a pitching machine company out here in Portland, the Jugs Company. I lived in the Jugs truck and just went to parks and rec departments and had fly ball competitions and things like that. That's when I was in my 20s. So now I'm in my 70s. It might be a little, I may go a little more upscale, you know. Yeah. But the Shredmobile sounds, don't you think it sounds like a great idea? Who wouldn't want to do that for a summer?
Rob, you better bring that thing on the East Coast and let me take a ride with you, because I definitely want to ride in the Shredmobile.
What town are you in? Where are you talking from now?
So we're in Northeast Pennsylvania, in a town called Wilkes-Barre. Are you familiar?
Sure. My first ever baseball road trip ever was to York, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I'm 12 years old, a Long Island team, collection of all-star team. We went to a tournament in York, Pennsylvania. The manager of the Cornell baseball team was from Wilkes-Barre.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So, and Ithaca is not far from there, you know, from Cornell going down.
Yeah.
So, far at all. Wow. That's pretty cool.
Small world. Yeah. So if the Shredmobile ever makes it to Wilkes-Barre, you gotta
try. We'll go, you against me, man. We'll go mano a mano on who's the best grape. Here's the thing. When you get in a competition, you got to go with the grape. It just, I don't know what it is. I just get a more durable bubble, even in Cooperstown. And the kids know me now, because I usually have my hat on and say, oh, there's Coach Rob, you know, and they know that they may get original, but I'm going to chew in the purple stuff. It's funny.
That's the stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So, how can, you know, people learn more about Big League Chew? BigLeagueChew.com, social media.
Sure. You know, people can do it. It's out there. It's such a simple brand. You know, I just remembered it was Amanda McFarland who drew the girl on the pouch. And I do want to give her the shout out, because she was just spectacular. Just came to me that I didn't mention that before. But yeah, go to BigLeagueChew.com. And I can't thank you enough for having me on. This is so much fun to do that. I can't believe I've been doing it for 40 years and it never gets old. It's really, I've been blessed. That's all I can say.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm thrilled to have you on. I mean, I never thought this day would come that I'm here talking to you on my podcast. That's only, it's very new, by the way. It's only 17 episodes in, so it's still pretty new. You know, the whole thing started by accident. I posted one single photo and asked people to vote. And now you're on the podcast. It's like, it's wild.
That is so cool. When my kids were younger, Charlie was maybe 6 years old. When people recognized me, we were coming out of an ice cream shop and they said, Rob, you know, you with the Portland Mavericks, you're the gum guy and so forth. And we're going to the car and Charlie said to me, Dad, you used to be somebody. I said, yeah, that's right, Charlie. I used to be somebody. Hopefully I still am. So.
Oh yeah, totally. Hey, you know, one other thing I almost forgot to ask. You guys have a recent collaboration with New Balance, right?
Oh, that was so much fun. So much fun that they made. They used the Big League Chew font and they made running shoes, baseball shoes. The slides are just so cool.
I got to get the grape slides.
Oh, it's really cool stuff. And they approached me. People say, you know, you're from Oregon. Why didn't you go to Nike? They're right in your backyard. And I said, I've spoken with Nike a number of times about making a Big League Shoe. I thought a little play on words.
That's cool.
But it's a bigger company, and they didn't they weren't really that interested. They were very polite, and they said, we wish you the best of luck. We know you're Oregon-based as well. And then I got a call out of the blue from New Balance, and it was 2 years ago. My daughter Paige was a freshman at Boston University. I said, I'm going to be back there. Let's go have lunch and talk. And the project, the stuff they did was spectacular. You go online to New Balance and look up the Big League Chew shoes, you'll be amazed. The grape ones, again, we're going back to that. The purple shoes are so cool. So yeah. I wish I had them with me. I didn't even think about doing that. I apologize.
Yeah, no. But, and I think it's also available at Dick's, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Dick's Sporting Goods is a huge supporter of Big League Chew, both with the New Balance shoes and just boatloads of gum in terms of shreds or buckets and stuff like that. Yeah, the Dick's people treat me like a rock star. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I first learned about the New Balance collaboration just about a week or so ago. My sister-in-law actually sent me a photo. By the way, like, since I've started talking about Big League Chew, no matter wherever I go, no matter what, I'm getting text messages at people saying, like, could you get me Big League Chew? I'm like, I don't have any. So she sent us a photo of all the apparel and the stuff in the Dick's Sporting Goods store. And I'm like, holy crap, they got these flip-flops. I'm like, I got to get them.
Yeah, it's cool stuff.
Yeah.
It's cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, that was kind of spontaneous. Those things have happened that people would say, would you try this or that? And I do some local fundraising things that just make sense in terms of being a part of the community. And I have to tell you that no luckier guy than I.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, so before we wrap it up here, is there anything that maybe I missed about Big League Chew? Is there anything else you want to share before we head out?
What can I say most recently about Big League Chew?
Besides grape is the best.
You know, there is the documentary, the Netflix documentary. Kurt Russell, the actor, and I were teammates in Portland. His dad owned the team, and the Battered Bastards of Baseball is a film about the team. Had I not been on that team, there would be no Big League Chew. So anybody who looks at Battered Bastards, it's free. It's 80 minutes long. I get about 60 seconds in there, you know, so you can see me without a hat on. But it's a tribute to Bing Russell, who is Kurt Russell's dad. Without Mr. Russell, we wouldn't be having this conversation. He is the guy who launched me. And here's an interesting story about Big League Chew. I think when people saw how enthused I was about the game of baseball and then about the bubblegum, particularly Bing Russell, is just a really good example. He knew I wasn't good enough to play on the team. But when I didn't make the team, they had open tryouts, I asked him if I could throw batting practice for $10 a day. And could I sell tickets on the phone? And then I started the baseball day camp. Bing just loved guys who loved baseball. And he gave me an opportunity. So if there's anything that I have to say about Big League Chew, it's like, I had a dream and people saw the light in my eyes and they gave me chances, but nobody more than Kurt Russell's dad. And it was Kurt who had the idea to start this team. So whenever I see him, I always say, hey man, no gum without you talking to your father. But that family is a Big League family. And if you're into old TV, Kurt Russell's dad was the sheriff on the TV show Bonanza. For 15 years, he was a TV star and he was kind of under the radar. Nobody knew who he was. Everybody has seen him now in this film, just a delightful guy. But there's something about baseball that makes people smile and they want to help you. So if you turn out to be like me, not so very good, find a way to stay in the game because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, that's a really cool story. Thanks for sharing that. Definitely going to have to check out the show on Netflix, documentary you said.
Yeah, Battered Bastards of Baseball.
I'll definitely have to check that out. All right. Well, Rob, it's been an absolute pleasure for having you on the podcast today. Another virtual On the Stacks podcast with the inventor of Big League Chew, Rob Nelson, BigLeagueChew.com. Thanks again for joining me and sharing the incredible story.
My pleasure. This is really fun. Thanks a lot.
If you'd like to learn more about the On the Stacks podcast, be sure to search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. We'll catch you next time on the Stacks.